There we go. Now you can scare the rest of Bethesda with this when you put it on the website, amen? All right, how y'all doing? Sure good to see you tonight. I told Brother Zach it's a bad sign when you bring a 20-ounce water instead of a 16, and you got 12 pages instead of 5. Hallelujah. No, I'm just kidding. Mason, you weren't singing a lot. What's up with that? I was trying to lead you and everything. You would, boy, swing a mean sledgehammer. He just don't like to sing none. Hey, man, it's good to see everybody tonight. Got a bunch of young folks here. I think they had a graduation. How many of y'all graduating this year? Just one of you? Ain't none of the rest of you passed that mark yet? How many of y'all already graduated? Oh, my goodness. Well, I asked them, didn't I? I was kind of looking in that direction, but I went through school.
Front door right out the back, didn't you,
sir? Amen. Well, Brother Zapp, you cut them off. It's doing me like it done you last night. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter number 11. I didn't, when you own your own company, you can't really say you played hooky from work, can you?
That's right.
So I didn't play hooky today. I just didn't go. I kind of stayed around here and felt like I just needed to stay here and pray and seek the Lord's face for the message this evening. And I was so encouraged with the service last night.
Yes, amen. Yes, amen.
How the Lord began to, he was trying to stir hearts and he was stirring hearts. I don't think there's a person in the tent last night that didn't get help in some way.
Yes.
I really believe that. I believe God helped us all. And the message, the singing, everything was just on target. The new choir coming and singing, they were a blessing. They were a little short-handed. I think that kind of discouraged them more than it did us. But they done a great job singing. And I really appreciate them being willing to come every year and help us. I was thinking, Brother Ray, a while ago, I had to get my oil changed yesterday, and I got down here and I brought my pulpit down here, and Brother Ray changed the oil on it today. Looks new and shiny now, don't it? And then he went and shined up my altar just a little better. So I appreciate you doing that for me, brother. That's a blessing. Little bitty things help us as we go down the road. And we're just going to thank the Lord for it. And I appreciate his goodness.
Amen.
I thank for this young crowd here tonight. It's good to see Cody finally show up. Amen. I like picking on him. He's a good kid. He seems like he's got things in order. Amen. And I can't wait to hear him preach one of these days. Amen. Oh, that's a big laugh. Did y'all hear that? I knew that was coming out. Amen. Mark chapter 11. Everybody smiled about that. I may be on to something. But we just appreciate that young man. Thank him for helping all the kids that come out and help us swing hammers and stuff. Y'all know I had to put a steel pole in my hammer instead of a wood one. Because Mason swings so hard. I think you bent that one. Honestly, I think it's got a little bit of... We got a blessing last year when we left the tent ministry. Brother Richard and them and Becky and all of them came up to our neck of the woods for a football game. I got tickled to death. They got a small team, and after about three plays, I noticed instead of one man on Mason, they had to put two on him to slow him down and stop him from going through and doing things. But he's a ball player, son. That boy's. I'm glad I don't play football at this age because I wouldn't want to face him on the line nowhere. That'd be like running into a bulldozer in Eaton Park, amen? But we appreciate folks are playing, and we had a good time, and of course, I had to come see the first game we won in, but hate to send y'all home with a wound and all that stuff. But no, it kind of encouraged us. Our pastor's son was the quarterback for this first year at that school, and Brother Jacob's a good. He plays like Mason. Everything he's got in him, he gets on the field. It's all football. I mean, he's just, and that's what it takes in Christian living, folks.
That's right.
You know what you portray here in your life ought to be the. It needs to be the other way around. You're a serious Christian. You ought to be serious about other things, but if you be more serious about parts in your life than you are serving God, there's probably a little bit of an issue there.
That's right.
But I felt that not to be true about these young men that serve the Lord and play sports. They really seem to want to serve God and be a help and do that as well. So that's always good.
Yeah.
And Jacob's the same way. When he puts his heart into it, he does what he's supposed to do for God and going to that Christian school and different things like that. I'm trying to get my mind set on a message while I'm rambling, so when I get there in a minute, we'll get into preaching. But Mark chapter 11, I want to say some things tonight, and I really hope it helps us. Zach will tell you, and we go a lot and preach in different places and see a lot of different churches, and breaks our heart to see people leaving and doors closing. And I was thinking today even more about that Nebraska situation where a Baptist church gave that church to a church that's not preaching the gospel. Just breaks my heart. And I'm wondering, why didn't you call somebody of the Baptist? Call the Southern Baptist and say, hey, send somebody up here and let them pastor this church. But it seemed like there's something missing, Brother Bruce. It seemed like we don't have the concern for the things of God like we used to have. And it seemed like some of our churches are not as fired up, Brother Jim, as they used to be. It seemed like now we're just coming. We're doing God a favor by showing up. And bless us if you can, kind of attitude. And if you don't, well, we'll be back next week. And well, we need to get out of that. Oh, my goodness, we need to get out of that. He's a lot better to us, that Brother Tony. We need to get away from that mess. Oh, we serve a good God. Oh, my goodness, we serve a good God. We serve a wonderful Savior, and I just love Him for who He is. I'm going to preach tonight, if I can, on a simple thought, what we need in the church today. Mark chapter number 11, verse number 15. I want to ask you to stand like Zach did. I normally do. I just forgot to do it the other night, so I won't make you do it tonight. Amen. But Mark chapter 11, we're going to start reading in verse 15 through verse 19, and we'll talk about some things. And maybe you'll get something out of it. I pray that the Lord will give you what you need. And we're going to read these few verses, then we'll pray again and ask God to put His blessings or add His blessings to this message. Mark chapter 11 and verse number 15. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And He taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy Him, for they feared Him because all the people were astonished at His doctrine. And when evening was come, He went out of the city. Father, Lord, You know my heart. God, the things we shared today together, or You shared with me, and I sure appreciate if You'd help us again in this message. Well, we need Your help tonight, Lord. Father, I pray that You'd help Bethesda Baptist Church. I've got a place in my heart for this church down here, and God, I really want to see them succeed. And when I see the touch that the pastor has on the community of young folks, oh, Lord, it would just be a great thing to come back next year and see 150 in this tent or in some building they've built and learning about Jesus and doing the work of the ministry. God, it'd be such a great thing. It's an amazing thing what the youth can do to a community and a county if they'll just get on fire and have the right church backing them and encouraging them to serve You. I pray that You'd help us tonight, Lord. Let us see what You'd have us see in Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. As Miss Angela was singing again tonight, wonderful song. I appreciate that. I thought about this, and I said something about it Sunday night. We think a lot of times this new contemporary music. And I've heard people complain about the kids listening to it, and I thought to myself, have you lost your mind? They're listening to something that has a somewhat of a godly influence around it. Why don't you not be encouraged that they're not listening to the AC/DC or Led Zeppelin or Toby Keith and all them people? Why would you not be encouraged that they're listening to something that's talking about God and His praise? Man, let them listen to it. Let them sing it. Let them live. Let them enjoy that stuff, because they're not out doing wrong or much wrong if they're listening to that kind of music. Right. It kind of helps them to keep things in perspective, Brother Mike, when we're listening to that kind of music. I know it does me. Yeah. And I was asked yesterday, I got a text from somebody asking me to sing a song Sunday morning in church. And as of right now, I'm probably going to disappoint some folks because I'm probably not going to sing it. Regardless of what the service is or what it's about, though it talks about Memorial Day services and the soldiers and things, but it's not a God. And I just don't think I want to get up in the church and sing it. Amen?
Right.
And you say, Brother Ricky, you'll hurt some people. They won't like it. I really don't know that I care if they like me if I'm going to do what God wants me to do.
Right.
I'm going to follow the Lord, Brother Cody, and that's what we're going to do and have Him honored. And when we do that, everything will be okay. He'll work it out. But we're talking about Mark chapter 11 here, verse number 15. The Lord Jesus Christ here, you'll find in John chapter 2. Let's read that real quick if you want to with me. John chapter 2 and verse number 13, you'll find that Jesus started His ministry. This is not the first time in Mark 11 that He had to do this and casting out these fellows for doing what they were doing in the temple. And in John chapter 2 and verse number 13, you'll find the first time the Lord had to address it, he said, "And the Jews, at the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep, and the oxen, and overthrew the tables, poured out the money changers, out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, these things hence make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." And the disciples remembered. It says here that they remembered that it is written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "What sign shewest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." We know what he's talking about. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered what that he had said this unto them, that they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So here we see him again in Mark chapter number 11, having to go back through the temple. And we're talking about the scripture here when verse number 16:15 said, "And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went up to the temple," back in Mark 11, "and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temples, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves." And then in verse 17, you'll find he said, "Is it not written, my house will be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." In Mark 17, verse 17, we'll find the Lord Jesus Christ is quoting a direct verse from Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse number 11. If you want to turn them real quick and read it with me, that'd be a good idea. I'm going to read this scripture to you if I can find it in my thumb index. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse number 11 said this, "He does not bring new words or try to turn words around. When our Savior quotes scripture, it's normally from somewhere back here in the Old Testament." And he said in verse number 11 of Jeremiah 7, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord." It's nothing new to come into the New Testament and find this thing going on. It's the same thing was happening in the Old Testament. Right. Folks were misusing the house of God, misusing the temple of the Lord. They were doing things it was not designed to do. Amen. Yeah, right. The chief priests and scribes this day were selling animals for sacrifice in the court of the Gentiles. Mark here mentions those doves. In verse 15, you'll find in Leviticus 14:22 that these doves were primarily for poor folk. They couldn't afford anything else, and they were the ones that, whenever they came in to get a sacrifice to give to the priest, it was a dove because they were, you know, I got an interesting thing when you study those sacrifices. And whenever you go to give your sacrifice, where the Bible describes, Brother Zach, where much is given, much is required, whenever you think about this, not anybody could buy a dove for a sacrifice. The wealthier you were in society, the more God expected out of you. Oh, yeah. He expected you to be the person that would pay more for a different sacrifice. The scripture plainly tells us that in Leviticus, if you study it. But there never was a place where when God expected something out of a person that they was not able to give it. Yeah. It wasn't that they wasn't able, it was that they was not willing to give it. In our life as Christians, God will never ask anything of you that you're not able to do, but you'll 9 times out of 10 something be not willing to do. He'll never put on us more than we can bear. God never puts us in a place that he can't or does not want to use us. It's always us that rebels against God, what God wants to do in our life. Teenagers, pay close attention to that. Sometimes we get in a situation and the Lord might put us in a club at school or get around some folks and there's some things going on where you're getting a little fearful, but at the same time the Lord said, okay, it's time for you to stand up and say no. It's time for you to stand up and say, I'm not going to be a part of that. If it's what this is about, I'm walking the other way. And if you ain't real careful, though the Lord's give you the ability to do so because of the circumstances around you, you may not be willing to stand up for the Lord. God help you. God help us. God help us as parents. God help us as adults and grandparents to encourage these kids to stand for right no matter where they're at. Don't let them put down your God, your religion, your church. You stand for the gospel. Stand for what God's done for you and give him glory in your life no matter what nobody thinks. Because when it's all said and done, we're going to face him with it. Amen. But you see here, they were, the chief priests were in this place called the temple, the house of God, and they were not helping. They were selling it. And I think G. Campbell Morgan said this. He said, instead of a place of prayer, P-A-R-Y-E-R, it was a place of prayer, P-E-P-R-E-Y-E-R. They were praying on people, not praying for people. Yes. Oh, we got so many churches across this country right now today that are doing that very thing. They're preying on people's feelings and emotions. They get in a bad way and they say, well, if you'll do this or that, then I'll promise you the Lord will do this. You can't make promises that you don't do. Amen. God can only make promises. And it's only God's promises that stay yea or nay. God will do what He said He's going to do. We just have to trust Him.
Yes, that's right.
Let me make a statement right here. It seems as though the churches today are trying to change the methods and replace them with what God has commissioned, the only thing that the Holy Ghost can do.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you're right, preacher.
Yeah. We're trying to make these different things up, Brother Zach, and we're trying to do this and put this in place thinking that it'll get people saved, but there's only one way,
right.
And there's only one unit, and there's only one person that'll get anybody saved, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. I don't care what you put in place, what color you paint it, what you write on the door of it. If the Holy Ghost of God does not quicken it, it will not be born again.
That's
why our churches are suffering that today. The Holy Spirit of God is not welcome anymore. We seem to cover Him over with different kind of things. And why it's so easy to get by with that is because most of the time, our flesh enjoys easiness.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I enjoy easiness. That's why so many people play the lottery. Man, that's why so many people play the lottery. Maybe the cows answer me. Yeah, I'll spend $5 and win $20 million and be set for life.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you won't either. You don't get money like that, Brother Jimmy, and learn how to handle it too good. Amen? If you don't earn it by the sweat of your brow, you will not appreciate it.
Yeah.
Amen? You won't appreciate your life as a Christian until the Lord puts you through a few things.
Yeah.
You won't be able to trust the Lord. You won't be able to find Him faithful in your life until God is able to show Himself faithful unto you.
Yeah,
amen?
Right.
But right here in this scripture, we're talking about this church and what's going on in our churches today. If folks are not getting saved, it's because the Holy Ghost of God has not manifested Himself in our services. Men and women and children everywhere are not being converted because of that reason.
Yes.
We're not listening to the Holy Spirit of God. We're not inviting Him into our house. We get up every morning. Brother Bruce, I'm not particularly singling out Bethesda Baptist Church. I'm talking about churches in general all over this country.
Yeah.
We spend more time on worrying about how we can get them in instead of keeping them in.
Yes.
God help us. And once we get a child and get somebody in church and we get their name on the book, then once that happens, oh, look, I've got 150 people on the roll, and only 25 are showing up. There's something wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Something wrong with that.
Yeah.
Charles Finney and Daniel Nash, those great Presbyterian evangelists that traveled together, they called Daniel Nash the prevailing prince of prayer. When they went through communities preaching and setting up tents like this or either getting a building and preaching, Brother Nash would go into a town a month or two before Brother Zach and get a group of men that love God, and they would get in a basement somewhere and pray for days and days and days.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I want to ask this question because I might be prying, but I wonder how many days and days we prayed at Bethesda before this tent revival.
Yes.
To see God move. I'm ashamed of myself, Brother Ray, that I don't do it either like I ought to.
Yeah.
But when they would do that, Brother Jerry, what would happen is when they said, and it was recorded in history, that over 80% of his converts that got saved in those meetings were in church the next week.
Yes.
And served God faithfully, Brother Zach, and never gave up because why? They got the right thing. The Holy Ghost of God showed up and touched their hearts, quickened them, and changed their being.
Yeah, that's right.
But when God changes your being, it'll be a different day for you.
Yes.
I'll never forget the night God quickened my heart and I got saved. I'll never forget it for as long as I live because it's changed me completely. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. Therefore, serve and glorify God in this body. That's what we're supposed to be doing. If you say you've been bought by a price and you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if He's really in your heart, it'll show up. I promise you it will. Not always doing everything right, Brother Jerry, but I'm still a child of God. Amen. And the Lord's been with me and helps me. And we love one another. Amen. Turn to John chapter 16 real quick for me. I'm not going to be long. I was lying. I ain't got 12 pages. I only got 3. You know, I had a fellow rebuke me one time for taking notes to a pulpit. I said, let me ask you something, brother. Your mama got a recipe for banana pudding? Does she memorize it or write it down? Oh, no. She got them her granny, and granny wrote it down for her. I said, so you got a problem with me writing something down I won't forget when I get up here and preach? Oh, my goodness. I got a recipe for banana pudding right here, amen. Yeah. Somebody say amen right there. Yeah. We read here in John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. Read with me, if you will. John 16, verses 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Boy, I'm glad he tells the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. We'll read here of the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. The word for reprove here in the Greek means to bring to light or to expose our sin. What we need today in our churches is the power of the Holy Ghost of God quickening us. We need the gospel preached. We need the cross preached. As it says in Romans 1:16, that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Yes. If we'll preach the gospel and stay firm on the gospel, the Holy Ghost of God will save folks. Yeah. But we're trying to get away from that and make these messages that everybody's wanting to hear, and it's easy on them. Boy, did you hear that knowledge? You get all that wealth? This young man right here can preach most preachers under the table when it comes to knowledge. But you know what he preached? We was in Claremont just a couple of weeks ago, and he preached the two messages, and I'll never forget as long as I live, because it stirred me, brothers, act like you don't know, about preaching the cross of Calvary and nothing else. Why? Because that's what's going to get people saved. That's how folks are going to get born again, preaching about the darling Son of God and what He's done for us and who He is. Romans says that He said the gospel is the power of God and salvation. They said, don't teach more religion. Don't teach a Christian compass. Don't teach all those things. You can do all those things you want to, but if they're not born again, it will not profit them one thing. Right. Oh, it's okay to teach them right from wrong, but man, if they don't get saved, it's not going to profit them nothing when it comes to the kingdom of God. Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people that are great folks, and they've got those things lined up, all their ducks swimming in the same trail, but they don't know God from Adam's house cat, praise God. We need to know Him first. And then let Him work on our hearts to get these things straightened out. Just a couple of examples here in Acts chapter 19. If you want to turn there with me, I got just a little bit more, we're going to be done. Acts chapter 19 and verse number 11. Just a quick example of what goes on with people that try to do things without the power of God in their life. They make mimic of the Holy Spirit of God in the church and what God can do in it. Acts 19, verse 11 said this, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto them sick, handkerchiefs, aprons, and diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Quick side note, they were watching Paul work. They seen Paul going up and down these streets and folks getting saved and getting healed by the hand of Paul.
Right.
They thought, I think we can do it. We'll just, whoa, hallelujah.
Yeah.
We'll just use the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, y'all ain't never heard of that before. We'll just take the name of Jesus and put it on something, Brother Jim, and it'll work. Oh, we're confused people if you think that's going to happen. It's not by our will or by our decree or by our say-so. It's by God's decree and His decree only. That anything will work. If He don't commission it, if He don't put His hands on it, throw it out with the wash water, praise God, it ain't going to happen, amen. It's only going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ says it's going to happen. And they said right here in this scripture, look at verse number 14. There were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests which did so. His priest had seven sons, and they thought they would. You know, as I was reading it, I thought to myself, I wonder why that chief priest didn't try it. You know why? Because he knew better. He knew better. So here, and he said, and the evil spirit answered and said, now this is can you just see these seven men going up? And there's one man now telling him, we adjure you by Jesus Christ that you come out of him. Now what's the answer? This would have scared the daylights out of me. I'd have probably ran before he jumped on me. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?
Yes, that's right.
You have no authority.
No.
Those two that have authority we recognize because it's authority over us.
Yeah.
We had no power over demons. We had no power over evil spirits. We had no power of our flesh save the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that spirit jumped on these men and whooped off seven of them and ran out of the house naked, amen.
Yeah. That's right.
Trying to do something without God's approval and God's hand, but yet putting God's name on it will not work. You have to have the Holy Spirit of God in anything you do, or it will not prosper. Amen. It's just not going to happen. And then in Acts chapter 7. Very familiar story. I'm preaching in general population here. I'm not talking about the church we're in. I'm just preaching the general population of the churches that we are seeing every day going up down the road. Then in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, 52, and 53, he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? Then they have slain them which sued before the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensations of angels and have not kept it." Look at verse 54. "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart." How in the world? Brother Zach, talking to somebody, do we get to cut somebody's heart? How does it go from my mouth into somebody's soul, so powerful and so strong on their sin that they ran up on this man, began to gnash on him with their teeth, and stoned him to death? I'll tell you how. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. He had the power of God upon him. He had the power of God in him. When Stephen here is preaching, the same group of leaders that we could probably find in the book of Mark, you'll notice in verse 54, it said they cut on him with their heart, with their teeth, when the word of God cut their hearts. You'll find in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. If you want to turn there with me, you can. If not, I'll read it to you real quick. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12 said this: "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart." Oh my goodness. And when he began to preach the scripture to them in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, it immediately began to bring light to their sin. It immediately began to bring conviction to what was going on in their life. They immediately felt the presence of the Holy Ghost of God reproving them of their sin. But instead of dealing with it like somebody should have, they got mad and ran up on this preacher and killed him. We'll find in our churches today some very similar things. Have you ever, you pastor, Brother Zach's pastor, have you ever preached a message and the fellow that came in shaking hands, smiling, left, mad as a hornet? "Hey, preacher, good morning, how you doing? Preach the word of God." He said, "What did I do? You've not done anything. The word of God's offensive."
Sure it is.
The word of God is very offensive to those that don't abide by it. The word of God corrects you and I. It takes our lives, Brother Tony, and turns them upside down and starts showing us our faults. And either we're going to deal with them through the Lord, or the world's going to deal with us in it. We get out here in this world and we begin to get angry, and God's trying to deal with our hearts and draw us back to where He's at. And before long, your life begins to be in a turmoil because the Holy Ghost of God is trying to get your attention. You ever experienced that before? Have you ever had that feeling when you just knew something wasn't right, and it all happened when you heard a message 2 weeks ago in the church, and God begins to call on you and try to get you to listen to Him and get born again? You ever had that experience of running from the Lord when He's trying to save you? Anybody ever experienced that besides me? Oh, no, I don't want nothing to do with that. Scared you because you don't know who it is or where it's from, but it comes from the Word of God. And only through this book right here, we're ever going to win anybody to the Lord and get them saved. The Bible says here that the Holy Spirit of God, the Word reproved. I got to get my next verse. I'm reading the same one again. Two great things took place on the day that Jesus Christ ascended back to glory. Two great things. Number one, the Holy Spirit of God came. The Comforter would come to empower the church for life and for witness. Life for salvation. When the Holy Spirit of God came down, He came for two things. Number one, to see people saved, reprove the world of sin, and then to make us witnesses unto the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to be powerful witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen. That's right.
You can't do it. It ain't going to happen. You're not going to have the power you need to serve the Lord if we're not filled with the Spirit of God. The second thing that happened whenever He ascended is our Savior once sat at the right hand of God to be an intercessor for His children. Two things we need to know tonight. If we're saved, the Holy Spirit of God is our helper. Yeah. He speaks of no one other than the Son of God. The Son of God never spoke nothing that his Father didn't say. He won't tell you anything that the Spirit of God or the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't say himself. You need to understand that. When you're hearing the Holy Spirit of God and he's speaking to your heart, you young people need to understand that's Jesus. That's who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said he will not speak of himself. He will only speak of me and what I tell him to say. Amen?
Yes.
And then just as the Son of God needed a body to do his work on earth, Hebrews 10:5, so does the Spirit of God need a body to do its work here on earth, and that's called the church.
Yeah. Visible representation. Yeah.
We are the visible representation of the Holy Spirit of God,
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. No one else is doing it but you and I.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 5. Let's read that verse real quick. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, needed a body to do the work when he had to have that body to be hung on Calvary's cross. So that he could die for my sin and for your sin. And then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, we're going to talk about this just for a minute, then we're going to be done in just a second. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. Today in our churches, this is one of the most... Now let me say it this way, and I don't know if you'll get to understand it or not, but I'm not talking about whenever the Lord says shout or something and you tell him no in the church. I don't really know, Brother Zach. That's what that verse is dealing with. I don't believe it at all. He said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I believe it's talking about the teaching of the Holy Spirit of God when it begins to correct our lives. Because you can read the next following verses and it talks about letting all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, Brother Jerry, is teaching us to love people. Not be bitter against people and tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord, when you folks, as I said at the beginning, when you young folks get in school and things start happening, the Spirit of God begins to direct you how you need to handle the situation, don't grieve him.
Right. Yeah.
If he's in your life and you know it, don't grieve him. You got to realize something. It's the Lord Jesus Christ directing you to do something. It's the Son of God saying, this is what I want. You're my child. I say, this is what I want you to do. Mamas and dads, grandma and grandpa, or nanny and papa, whatever you call yourself, listen, when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God speak in your heart, you don't need to tell him no. Don't grieve him and say, I don't know about it. No, it's God trying to give us direction.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just wash it away, but if it has to do with God and the church, we need to listen and do what he says.
That's right.
But we're not doing that. I don't even think most of the church folks today, Brother Bruce, are cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. I just don't believe we are. You know why I say that? Because folks are not getting saved.
Yeah.
And the ones that proclaim salvation are not found the next day. They're nowhere around religion. They're nowhere around the church, Brother Jerry. They're not serving God. They're not finding a place to serve.
Right.
They say, I got saved, but where are you at?
Yeah, that's right.
What's going on? Why are you not here? Why are we not serving God? Why is the importance of the gospel not in our souls to do everything we can to tell the world about it?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Where are we? I ask people that all the time. They say, well, you know, Brother Rick, I ain't been in church about 30 years. I said, well, when did you say you got saved? 30 years ago? But yet you hadn't had any desire for God? Oh, yeah, I mean, all people don't like this, Brother Mike. That's just the truth. You get born again, but you don't have no desire for the Word of God. Have no desire for prayer. No desire for church. No desire for none of God's people.
That's right.
I've got no desire to come out and witness. I've got no desire to tell anybody I meet on the road about the Lord. There's no desire in my heart for God, but I got saved.
Yeah.
I won't be the one to tell you didn't, but I checked that thing.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's about like when somebody says, I can sing. Give them a microphone. It takes about 2 seconds to realize they think they can sing. So I'm a football player. Put them on the field and drag them off on a cot. Man, I'm a baseball player. What do you mean play? Right field, and he goes to first. Point I'm trying to make is if you are saved, you'll change.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Things will take on in your heart and life that you won't have much of a control of except to be obedient to it.
Yes, amen.
I know that because there weren't many more rebellious people than Ricky Fields when he got saved at 22 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir. But Brother Tony, it began to change me. I didn't begin to change. I didn't have much of a choice but to change. I really believe that if I didn't, that my next step would be at Ingram's. And so, where's Ingram's at, Brother Ricky? It's one of our funeral homes in Cumming.
Yeah.
God had a work for me to do and a call on my life.
Yeah.
If you're saved tonight under this tent, He's got a work for you to do.
That's right.
And a call on your life.
Yes. Amen.
May not be to preach. May not be to be a deacon. May not be to be a song director. May not be a half-wit tent evangelist. But God's got a call on your life. And He expects us to abide in that call. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Moving right along. What we need in our churches today is Christians that are sensitive to the Holy Ghost of God and who will be obedient to His beck and call to service, to witness, and to worship. We need pastors. We need deacons. We need moms and we need dads. And we need children to be obedient to the Spirit of God.
Yes.
There's not a more important thing that you'll do in your whole life, mom and daddy, to find your place in an altar and get sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes.
Deacons, there's not a better place in your life than to get an altar somewhere and ask the Lord to show you and help you to cultivate that relationship between you and the Holy Ghost of God so that you can pray for that man right there. And there's no better thing or greater thing that pastor can do than to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. And that I know without a doubt when He's speaking, Brother Bruce,
yes,
when He's talking to our hearts and trying to get us to listen to Him. Take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter 4 real quick for me. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets are going out in this world. You know, they say this, and I mentioned this the last time I was here. I'm not sure, but I'm going to say it tonight. You know what they say, the Treasury, when they want to inspect and find out whether something's counterfeit or not, they don't study the counterfeits to see what's wrong with them. They study the real thing. So that when a counterfeit comes through, they have no problem spotting it. You listen to me, kids?
That's right.
You study the real thing.
Yep. Amen.
You find the real thing.
Yeah.
And then when something false comes across your way, when you're out there and you're daily living and you're not around your pastor or your youth director or your deacons or somebody that loves God and you're by yourself, and some washed up wannabe comes up and wants to start a new work and a new religion and starts feeding you a bunch of junk, it won't take you but about a half a second to realize that's not of God. That's what's wrong with us today.
Yes.
That's what's wrong with us. Oh, I know this ain't a shouting, slobbering, preaching message, but I'm telling you, that's what's wrong with us.
Oh, yeah.
We've not studied the real thing, and there's so much stuff popped up around us that we've even started partnering with some of them, Brother Zach.
Right.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yeah, we're going over our part. What are you doing? We don't need to partner with a religion. I don't care how good it is or big it is or their ideas. If they're not preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, stay away from it.
Yeah.
Brother, they're damning what you're doing for God if you go hang out with that.
Yeah, that's right.
I got a lot of friends that I love them to death, but they're not preaching this kind of message that you hear. They're not preaching the gospel. They're not preaching the Lord Jesus Christ to him alone. They're adding a ton of things to us. Say, no, I'll have no part of that. And I don't mind telling them they're dead wrong.
Yeah.
I said, Brother, you're wrong. Well, how do you know that I'm not right and you're wrong? I said, I'm telling you right now, if it ain't that book, you're wrong. Two things I give my life by when it comes to knowing God. And number one, it's the Spirit of God in my heart and that book. If those two don't line up, you better back away from it.
Yes, sir.
I may not be clear. Woo, hallelujah. I may not be clear all the time when the Spirit's speaking to me, but this right here hasn't changed since the day it was written.
That's right.
And if it's in here, bless God, just go ahead and do it, because I guarantee you, God will honor His Word before He honors His own name.
Yes, He will.
You listening to me?
Amen. Oh, yeah. Come on,
about to get a song. We need to cultivate a relationship with the Spirit of God. Now I ask this question as we get ready. Miss Nancy, come get you a song. Sing the invitation. Don't answer this by raising your hand. Don't you do that. Don't want you to embarrass yourself. But in your heart, ask yourself the question, do you know, young as do you know when the Spirit of God is speaking to you, I mean, honestly, ask yourself that question. Mama, Daddy, do you know when the Spirit of God's speaking in your heart? I'll go even further than that. Do you care? Do you really? You've not got to a place in your life as a Christian where you don't need to know when the Spirit of God's speaking to you. Because every step you take in the church needs to be directed by the Holy Spirit of God.
That's right.
Every move you make towards starting anything in this church, whether it be a youth group, whether it be a small group somewhere in a home somewhere, you need to make sure the Holy Spirit of God is backing it. Because I'm telling you right now, Brother Mike, it will not stand. Nor will it help. Nor will it count for anything. Or you might get them to come. Y'all can have coffee and cake and have a good fellowship. But the Holy Ghost of God's not unctioning that thing. It's not going to work. And there's nobody knows life better than He does.
That's right.
The Lord Jesus Christ has already seen way down the road. He knows what's going on in our life. We don't have to wonder whether He knows or not, honey. He already knows. He is an omniscient God. Amen.
Right.
The beginning and the end. He is a sovereign. He is omnipotent. He is all wise God. He knows what's going to happen in our life the next day.
Yes.
He's already seen a lot further down the road, Brother Tony, than I can.
Yep.
And He already knows what I need.
Yeah.
So it would pay you tonight, if you've never done it in your life before, I'm just going to beg you to get in this altar and ask God to begin that relationship between you, His Word, and the Spirit of God in your life, and watch things change.
Yes.
Watch things. I've been asking the Lord to do that. Man, I've been saved 31 years. And I still find myself begging God, Brother Jerry, to show me who He is. Make sure that I know His voice.
Yes, that's right.
So that when things come around, it's an everyday life, Brother Bruce.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You need to talk to Him and know who He is. Amen?
Right.
While we stand and she's saying, would you come do that? You say, I'm too young. I got a life to live. No, honey, right now is the time you need to find God.
Yes.
Right now is the time you need to say, Lord, I want You to show me who You are. Lord, I want You to speak to my heart. I want it to be so real to me that nothing could change my mind about it. I want God in me. I want to know, I want to know, I want to know.
Yep.
Thanks, sister. Would you come tonight?
Yes.
Would you come? It's serious business.
Yes, it is.
Mm. That's right.
Very serious business.
Yes.
The Spirit of God wants to help us. Will we let Him help us? Will we let Him help us? Would you come while she sings? Come on. Come on. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of Him. You need to sit down on a chair. That's fine. Don't be afraid of the Spirit of God. Oh, my goodness. Don't do that. Would you come? It's serious business, church. Serious business. All pray, young, and just ask Him to show you. Talk to Him. Say, Lord, I want to know. Well, I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to be wrong when You tell me to do things. God, I want to know. I want to know when You're speaking to me. Father, I don't want to miss it. Don't want to get to heaven and miss it because I didn't know Your voice. Don't want to get there and miss this whole thing. Lord, I want to start when You want me to start. I want to finish when You want me to finish. Lord, talk to my heart. Speak to me. Speak to me. Would you tonight call out on Him? Is there a heart here tonight that's scared of that and don't really know what if they want it or not? Is there a mom or daddy or? I just know this stuff to be true. I know there's people that struggle with knowing the Spirit of God. I think it scares them, Brother Jerry. They're afraid. They don't know what to expect out of Him. I can promise you something. He'll do more for you than anything you'll ever do. If you'll just listen to His voice tonight. Young men, young women, y'all sure? Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't be afraid of coming and talking to the Lord about your life. Oh my goodness. Would you come? This is what the Lord put on my heart. I wept for over 2 hours over this message. I said, Lord, that's simple. He said, I know it is. It's what we need. It's the truth. It's the whole we need, the Spirit of God in our lives. That's what's killing the church. We're trying to do it without God. We're trying to do it without God. Now, I'm not talking about going on a Sunday morning and shouting and acting all crazy. That ain't what I'm talking about. I hope y'all didn't get that out of this message.
Yeah.
You, like I did last night, I just get happier than most folks.
Amen.
I'm talking about knowing when he speaks to us, Brother Bruce.
Right. Right.
Being obedient to his voice.
Because
right. I know this to be true.
Yes.
When it comes to that church down there, when these deacons are filled with the Spirit of God and listening to him, Brother Bruce, he won't tell you nothing that he already told them.
That's right. Amen.
There'll be nothing. This man of God gets up, Brother Jim, with a vision and says, I believe the Lord wants us to do this. Them deacons won't have any issues with it because the Lord's told you.
Right.
He won't tell you something you don't tell them.
Right.
Youngins, can I tell you this tonight? He won't tell you anything that don't back up that word.
That's right.
Nothing.
That's right.
Absolutely nothing. Well, my friend said, you ain't got but one friend in this world.
Amen. What a friend.
And they call him Jesus.
Amen.
Boy, I... you can't be full of the Spirit of God and have envy to your brother. The Lord Jesus Christ don't work in that realm, folks. He won't let you get mad about something and run off without fixing it.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and tell you that right now. He won't let you get upset at situations in churches or even anywhere and take off without fixing things without the Lord Jesus Christ convicting your heart about it. And you can say it's all right. According to that book, it's not. Making amends of our hearts and churches is what's killing us today. Folks are not wanting to love one another.
That's right.
They're not wanting to be honest with one another no more, Brother Jimmy. Just whatever.
Amen.
But that's not the God I serve.
Amen.
I hate eating cud. I hate having to go back and say I was wrong.
Yes.
I hate having to do those things.
Mm.
Boy, I hope tonight you've got a
yes,
relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. I really do.
Amen.
I pray that when you go home tonight, you won't be able to sleep till you talk to him.
Yes. Amen.
Pray the power of God and conviction be so heavy on you,
bless you, Lord,
that you won't know what to do yourself till you pray about it.
That's right.
Or have to pick up the phone and call somebody you know that's been born again. I'm not convinced everybody under the tent is saved.
That's right.
That's right.
I'd be surprised in the crowd this size that everybody in this church has been born again. Really would. It'd probably shock you if we knew how many people really not been saved. But I'm telling you something. You need to cultivate that relationship with the Lord. It's through this book. He said, only come by prayer and fasting. If you want the faith that works, you need to pray.
Yes.
You need to sacrifice yourself.
Amen.
Prayer is a form of sacrifice, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. We have to take time out of our day and stop what we're doing and put our flesh in a place it don't like to be to pray. But how well, we need to do it so badly. Church, we need to do it so badly. Greene County needs Bethesda Baptist Church to be full of the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes. Amen.
We ain't worried about them other churches. We're about the one we go to. God anoint us and fill us so when they walk in that door lost, they'll feel the power of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 All right, let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Brother Zach, if you would.
Lord, as we bow with you again this evening, we are so thankful, Lord, that we've heard the truths of your word in regards to the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, I do plead and pray tonight as we disassemble, as we make our way to our place of abode, Lord, that there would be a striking resemblance in us to you.
Yes.
Knowing that it would be the Holy Ghost, and Lord, that will smooth the rough edges and cause us to look, Lord, likened to the image of your Son.
Yeah.
Yes. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the ones who are here in attendance. Lord, but I'm glad we're not just warm bodies sitting on seats, Lord, in a field.
That's right.
Lord, but you've given us ears to hear your word, and your word has been proclaimed tonight. Thank you for your man. Lord, I'm so appreciative, Lord, that you've put Brother Ricky Lord, in our lives.
Yes.
And Lord, the same words that you have, Lord, woven, Lord, into his being. Lord, I'm thankful that you have woven into ours.
Yes.
Lord, we're just so thankful. Lord, and we praise you.